Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Our guest this hour writes that small farms are becoming big business, and one reason is food hubs. A few have been around for 20 years, but lately they've been growing like zucchini in August. Two-thirds have been in business less than 5 years. They're getting bigger and they're doing more and becoming more important to agriculture in the Midwest and around the country. Richard Longworth is with us this hour. He is senior fellow at the Chicago Council on Global Affairs and author of Caught in the Middle, America's Heartland in the Age of Globalism. He's a longtime editor and foreign correspondent for the Chicago Tribune and also for UPI. He's a native of Iowa, a recognized expert and frequent speaker on the Midwest and its place in a globalizing world. And he writes the blog The Midwesterner on the website of the Chicago Council's Global Midwest Initiative. We'll be welcoming phone calls for him a little bit later. We will be speaking with Tara Roberts, who farms with her parents in central Wisconsin. They're third-generation family farm specializing in wholesale and retail produce, and she teaches sustainability and is the president of the Wisconsin Food Hub Cooperative. All hour, we welcome phone calls. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Email talk at wpr.org, and our Facebook page is the Kathleen Dunn Show. Richard Longworth, hello. Thanks so much for being with us.
Kathleen, good to be with you again.
Yeah, nice to have you here. You write in, this is something that I would never have thought was true. The number of mid-sized farms is growing. I didn't know that.
Yes, and I think there's something going on here. As we know, for a long time, a century, farms have been consolidating. Farms are getting ever bigger. The number of big farms, and in this case, this is something like 1,000, 2,000 acres or more, farms making more than $1 million a year, have been growing fairly steadily. The number of small farms, little farms, even hobby farms, things, you know, farms owned by people who have a factory job in town but prefer to live in the country, they've been growing over the years, too, as have smaller niche farmers, market gardeners, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But as we have seen and lamented, the mid-sized farm, the old family farms
right.
that we grew up with, have been shrinking. The latest figures show that, as usual, the number of big farms is growing, continuing to grow. The number of really small farms actually is shrinking, but the mid-sized farms are growing. So something is going on.
Yeah.
And I don't think the old-style family farmer, with all the costs that that entails, is coming back. What I think is happening, and this is just a guess, but the evidence seems to bear this out, is that you have these small farms, the market gardeners, the ones who serve your farmers' markets, the ones who do specialty farming for restaurants, they are growing and becoming mid-size, and they're becoming more like a business, less like a hobby, if you will. And one of the forces here are these food hubs, which are, I think both sides would object to this characterization, but they're the Cargills of the farmers market crowd. They're the ones that centralize a lot of the operations, do a lot of the advertising, the marketing, packaging, storage. They do a lot of the shipping. They are acting as middlemen between the small startup, the local agriculture, and their customers, which are not really farmers markets, but are restaurants, hospitals, schools, even supermarkets these days, which are beginning to buy from them.
And are these, Richard, brand new companies for the most part?
A lot of them are. The latest figure shows there's something like the latest figures I saw from the U.S. Department of Agriculture said there's 222 of them around the country, about 10 in Wisconsin. This list is not up to date. Your guest later on in the show, the Wisconsin Food Hub Cooperative, hasn't made the list yet, so this is growing. Some of them have been around for 20 years or more. The majority of them have started up in the past 5 years, but they seem to be growing. They're fairly solid, and they don't seem to be all that risky.
Yeah. What they do and what they don't do, you write that they don't really provide, they don't sell to farmers, they don't sell seed and pesticides and all of the things that large companies like Cargill may do.
Yeah, they don't do that. Let's wait and see how that evolves. This is a farming. A lot of people object to this characterization, but farming is it's big business, and it's a process of business. Farms have been consolidating.
Yeah.
Farms have been growing, and these smaller farmers are growing, and it's reasonable to assume that those who serve them, like the food hubs, will continue to grow and may, in due time, get into the inputs end of it, that is, supplying seeds, supplying chemicals where they're used, supplying fertilizers and that sort of thing. But so far, no. As far as I can find out, there's no food hubs that are doing that. They're simply doing the marketing, taking the food from the farmer, sometimes processing it, sometimes not, and selling it to the end user.
So is my understanding correct that these would be regional or maybe even state operations? You're not taking the food very far. You're taking it from the farmer in central Wisconsin to restaurants or various places in Milwaukee or in Madison or in cities?
They're regional. Almost all of them, the vast majority, are near cities or major metro areas like Madison or Milwaukee because that's where the customers are. Some kind of like farmers markets. Most of your farmers markets you find in cities. They are regional rather than statewide. They tend to operate within a 400-mile radius.
Mm-hmm.
Food seldom comes from more than 400 miles away, and a lot of them are more local than that. Now, of the 10 that I found in Wisconsin, 9 are in southern Wisconsin, and most of them are clustered around Madison.
Hmm.
There are three in Dane County alone. The only one exception that I can find is one called I'll have to work on the pronunciation here, the Chequamegon Food Co-op.
Chequamegon.
Chequamegon. Chequamegon. Okay, you've got me there.
That's all right.
That's up north in Ashland.
Uh-huh.
All the rest are pretty much clustered in southwest or southern Wisconsin.
Yeah. So these aren't farms themselves, larger farms. These are just people who have formed a business to transport the food, essentially.
That's right. Some, like your guest later in the show, are co-ops. I believe about 5 or 6 in Wisconsin are co-ops. The other 4 are privately owned and are for-profit. I think they're all probably for profit. They want to make some money off of
right.
it and, do well by doing good. But they're not farmers themselves. There's nothing that says that farmers can't start these.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, a co-op is, by definition, an association of its members. So some farms may be involved in putting some money in there. But you have people who are running the office, slapping on labels, arranging transportation, doing the accounting, doing the advertising, doing a lot of the stuff that farmers themselves just don't want to do.
Right. And are they involved in farmers markets, Richard, or not?
Probably not, because when you go to a farmers market, you're dealing directly with the farmer himself.
Right.
At least that's the case here in Chicago. I go to a lot of farmers markets, and you get to know the vendors.
Mm-hmm.
And you ask them where they're from, and they tell you. We even get a few down from Wisconsin or over from Michigan, and you get, it's a very personal sort of a thing. And so the food hubs don't do that. The farmers themselves gather the crops, put them in the truck, bring them down, set up the kiosk, take in the money. It's an awful lot of work if you've talked with vendors. They're
yes.
up early in the morning.
Right.
Some of them are serving 5 or 6 or 7 farmers markets in a week.
Wow.
It is long hours. They make a good living off of it. A lot of these farms are becoming fairly substantial operations. My favorite vendors here at the Chicago market started as a 10-acre plot out behind the house, and they do 400 acres now.
Woo.
And they sell all over, and the family, they got 4 sons, and they're all involved in this, but it is really hard work.
Yeah,
and the
I'm sure.
Food hubs are growing up. for pretty much the same reason your big operations like Cargo grew up, is they took on a lot of the non-farming activities from the farmer, leaving the farmer free to do what farmers do, which is to grow food.
Right. Are they expensive? Do the farmers have to pay a lot for these kinds of services?
That I don't know, and I think maybe we could ask Tara that later on. They have to be competitive. Mm-hmm. As I said, you've got three right there in Dane County. Two are for-profit, and the third, Tara's operation, is a co-op. But she has to be competitive. So you'd, I think when they're originally setting up the Wisconsin Food Hub co-op, some of the farmers balked at what looked to be a rather high price for the services. Then they discovered what the what sort of services were going to be involved,
right,
and decided to come in anyhow. They're a good deal, or the farmers wouldn't be in on them.
Yeah, and probably a very good deal for the consumers, because with all of this fresh local food movement that's going on, and people think that it's healthier, which it is, to have your food, you know, fresh and from down the road or 100 miles away, this really fills the need for that, doesn't it?
It's great for schools. Schools are always
trying,
you know, there's a movement to get more fresh food, fresh produce into school meals, and if you can tap the local market, that's true. Restaurants love this.
Mm.
In talking with vendors at farmers markets, I've discovered that that's getting a little tough. The farmers markets, they're not increasing in number, and the farmers themselves say they're making less money from the farmers markets than they used to, simply because farmers markets, as we all know, the food is more expensive than in your local supermarket. You're paying extra for the freshness and the taste and the quality and the sheer fun of the experience. Well, you know, we're just coming out of a recession, and there are fewer people who are willing to pay that extra amount. So they aren't making as much money from farmers markets as they used to. They all say that where they're making their money these days is from restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
You've got an increasing number of chefs who really prize the freshness, the special cheeses, the special vegetables, the special meats that they can get from these local farmers.
Mm. So these food hubs are in the business then of marketing the products. They're going around to restaurants, et cetera?
I don't know how they market, but they definitely are. What I've read is that yes, that's what they do. They advertise, they market,
right.
they try to expand the market for their members or their customers.
Richard, what about grocery stores?
Apparently that is growing. Most grocery stores will buy, your big chains will still buy from central suppliers. And these suppliers are big, and they are the Cargills and the ADMs of the world, and they're dealing with big grocery chains like Jewel or Walmart. These are billion-dollar businesses, and they deal in bulk. They need immediate delivery. They need quality control, quantity control, and they have their suppliers set up. And a lot of these suppliers may be overseas, maybe in South America, a lot from California that service the markets here. And that continues to be the pattern, and I think will be in the future. But in the meantime, apparently, some food hubs are selling directly to local grocery stores, and I believe that's the case in Madison. Some stores are taking in this produce, presumably marketing it as locally grown. And don't know, but we can ask whether there's a price premium here.
Hmm. And it's both organic and non-organic, I would imagine.
It is. Some of the small local market farmers make a specialty of being organic, and they're certified organic. I saw some statistics on this that the food hubs invariably prefer certain what they call producer practices. It's antibiotic-free, chemical-free, certified humane, certified organic, certified fair trade, et cetera, et cetera. This is what they prefer and encourage. What they require is something else again. For instance, certified USDA certified organic, 60% of the food hubs prefer produce that is certified organic, but only 11% of them require it. Fair trade, 63% of the food hubs want fair trade, but only 6% or 8% require it. So they are encouraging these practices, but it's not the same thing as getting them.
Right. We're going to welcome phone calls for Richard, and we'll take them momentarily. It's a movement. I didn't know very much about it, but it's really growing, and it's, at least at first appearances to me, seems to be a pretty good thing here. It's allowing smaller farmers to make a decent living and stay on the farm, and allowing people who want food that's not all that far away from the farm and chance to have locally grown pretty fresh food, and saving farmers, although they have to pay for the services of the food hub, at least they don't have to market their food and bring it into town and do all of the packaging, et cetera, that can be extremely time-consuming when you're trying to run a farm. These mid-sized farms, our guest writes, are growing. These are sales of $100,000 to $500,000 a year, family farms that have been vanishing as U.S. agriculture became big business, and the mega farmers bought up the smaller farmers and put them out of business and changed the landscape of rural America. But it's changing, Richard writes, and food hubs might be one reason. Some of you might be involved in this yourself, those of you who are listening who are farming. Maybe you've availed yourselves of a food hub. Do you welcome this change in agriculture from these huge, huge mega farms to smaller farms, people being able to make a living doing this? And finding the services of the food hubs to be just what they need. Richard Longworth is senior fellow at the Chicago Council on Global Affairs, author of Caught in the Middle, America's Heartland in the Age of Globalism. He's a longtime editor and foreign correspondent for the Chicago Tribune and for UPI as well. Here's our phone number, 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@wpr.org. And our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show. We're also on Twitter at KDunn Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Food hubs, this hour of the program, we're interested in hearing from all of you, but those of you who are doing farming in Wisconsin, particularly interested in hearing from you and looking at how we're seeing farms growing a bit after really, really dismal news. These mid-sized farms are growing in numbers, and it's perhaps because of the food hubs that we've been talking about with Richard this hour of the show. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, and our email is talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. I would imagine that most people, Richard, are welcoming this as really good news. As you know, mega farms, you of all people would know this, have been getting a lot of press that's not very favorable lately, that we're a little concerned about the way animals are raised, the number of pesticides that are used, and the little oversight that we have or examination we have of the processes that are used on various farms. Do we with food hubs have a better understanding of where the food is coming from and how it was grown and how long it's been sitting on the shelf and how good it is for us?
I think it's certified fresh. It has to be certified organic, although there are far too few inspectors really to do a thorough job of inspecting organic farms. I think we have to stress here, Kathleen, that these food hubs and the smaller farms aren't going to put the mega farms out of business, nor should they. Mm-hmm. They're serving two different markets. We are counting on these big farmers, the 2,000, 5,000, 10,000 acres people, literally to feed the world.
Mm-hmm.
With the growth of globalization, with the addition of China, India, Southeast Asia to our economy, we have something like 3 billion new hungry mouths out there to feed. They want meat in particular, but they want the kind of protein that produces the meat. And the United States, and especially these big farms, are the only ones with the means, the scope, the scale to provide the feed corn, the soybeans, that sort of thing, to produce this. If you've read my stuff, you know that, you know, anybody who puts food on somebody's table is okay by me. I think farmers are some of the most valuable citizens simply because they provide food. And if it's big farmers providing food around the world, if it's local farmers providing more locally grown food for us here in Madison or Milwaukee or Chicago, they get my vote. And if they can make some money doing it, that's fine. There are abuses in big farming, we all know, and those have to be leaned on. I'm no fan of the farm subsidies. I think we do have to do more in cutting back on the use of pesticides, chemicals, that sort of thing, but without eliminating them, because we do need the big harvests and the big yields to simply feed the world, which is, here in the Midwest, it's our global obligation. But in the meantime, the farmers' markets, or the small farmers, the local ones, helped by the food hubs, are giving us a choice and a variety in food. More power to them.
More power to them. Let's go to calls. Valerie is our first caller for you in Green Bay. Hi, Valerie.
Hi, Kathleen. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
My husband and I have a dairy farm of 100 cows near Green Bay, and we've been training young farmers on our own farm for many years to start their own farms. And recently, I've been teaching at the technical college here, where, again, we're training young people who want to learn to farm. And I want to make sure that they have markets when they start their own farms. And we see food hubs as a great way to have young farmers, beginning farmers, and even some of our people who are done working in the paper mills and want to get back on their family land, to put land to appropriate use and start farming again and supply local markets.
Oh, this is great, Valerie. So how many young people are interested in this? Do you have a big market of young people who want to farm?
Yeah, we're really surprised, actually. We have spots for 20 people, and this is the first year of our associate degree at the Tech College, and we have all 20 spots filled.
Isn't that something? And how about...
Let me ask you, farming is an expensive business. Getting started in farming is very expensive, especially if you don't have land or if you don't have a herd to build on. Where do these young farmers get the capital, and can food hubs help them give them access to capital?
What the farmers, the young people need is access to land, and in northeastern Wisconsin, we have plenty of people who have smaller parcels of land, on the scale of 40, 60 acres, maybe 10 acres even, that's not appropriate for large corn and soybean fields. Mm-hmm. And these people who have the land really want it to be farmed sustainably. So we're making connections with people who want trained farmers to come on the land and farm it for them with good stewardship practices. And in that way, we're cleaning up the hypoxia zone in the Bay of Green Bay.
Hey, that's terrific.
How long have you been farming?
My husband and I have been farming 20 years, and it's been in his family over 100 years.
Oh, and okay. Are times rough for you, or are you doing okay?
We're doing great. We ship milk to Organic Valley, and that has really been a great market for us.
All right. Thank you, Valerie, so much for your call.
Thank you.
Thanks. Let's go to Peg in La Crosse. Hi.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm wondering about the Food Safety Modernization Act. The FDA has proposed new regulations for agriculture producers, and if they're implemented, it would place an undue burden on smaller farms. The new rules would require small and mid-scale farmers to invest in safety equipment and procedures that would potentially be unaffordable for the smaller markets, but of course the large-scale farms could afford it. But it would create barriers for smaller farmers and processors. I'm wondering if your guest would speak to that.
Yes, as a consumer of food, sometimes to excess, I really like to know what's on the table. I like to know that is safe and that it has passed inspections. And I understand the cost for small farmers, but we do expect all of our food, no matter the source, to meet a certain standard. The big farmers, of course, would have a legitimate complaint if their competition, the small farmers, were allowed to get by with lower standards than they are. I think we're dealing with people's foods here, and this has to be dealt with. Again, working together with other farmers, possibly through co-ops or through food hubs, this may provide an economy of scale here that would lower that cost. But food inspections are necessary. We have seen with small farms and with big farms what happens when food inspection gets lax.
Thank you very much, Peg, for your call. A couple emails that have come in for you. This one from Wayne in San Francisco. Food hubs may well account for some of the reasons that mid-sized farms are growing in number. However, I have to wonder if much of the change is due to the higher prices agriculture has enjoyed across all sectors over the past several years.
I'd like to see his figures on this. Compared with other countries, Americans eat amazingly cheaply. We spend a lower percentage of our income on food than most other countries. If you go to other countries, certainly first world countries, the Europeans, and that they typically spend a higher proportion of their budget on food. So I would question that assertion.
And why is that?
Scale. We have big farms, and economies of scale do count. The food from smaller farms, the ones we've been talking about today and the ones that service the farmers market, they are more expensive. And they tend to sell to the specialty markets like the farmers market or to restaurants. Now, as we get into larger markets, more use of hospitals, schools, certainly selling to supermarkets, both the competitive pressures and the scale are likely to drive those prices down. But right now, it's one of the benefits of big agriculture is we have the smaller, we have the lower prices.
Mm-hmm. We're going to find out more. Richard will stay with us, but we're going to find out more about Wisconsin Food Hubs. Tara Roberts-Turner is joining our conversation. She farms with her parents in central Wisconsin. Turner's Fresh Market and Greenhouses started 50 years ago in its third generation now, and they specialize in wholesale and retail produce. She has a master's degree in agricultural policy, and she teaches sustainability as an adjunct instructor and serves as the president of the Wisconsin Food Hub Cooperative. Tara Roberts-Turner, thank you very much for joining our conversation.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So to explain to us how this Food Hub Cooperative works.
Well, the Food Hub Cooperative allows members to buy in. So each member needs to pay $1,200 down. And with that membership, they get several things. Some of the things that were already discussed, marketing. We have a sales manager, a general manager that takes care of logistics, packaging, advertising, marketing. And then there's a 12% fee that's taken off when the product is sold.
Mm-hmm. And how do farmers find out about you? Do you go from farm to farm and advertise the work of the cooperative, or is it just word of mouth?
Well, actually, this cooperative has been in the works since 2011,
mm-hmm.
started by a group of people in Dane County. And they went and sent letters to farmers all over the state and gathered them in Dane County for several meetings. And then later on in the summer of 2012, the Wisconsin Farmers Union took on the venture and again sent out mass emails, made calls to bring farmers in to try to get their interest. We do have annual membership meetings. We just had an annual membership meeting last week to draw in farmers, as well as visit farmers at their own farms.
Hmm. Are you growing?
Yes. Yes. Our first year we had 11 farmers, and just last week we signed on 3 more, and I'm thinking that we'll probably double in numbers before this coming summer.
And to what do you attribute that growth, Tara?
Well, I think a lot of farmers held back the first year. They wanted to see if this would be a success. And now that they're seeing that we are making sales and that it is a productive venture, then they want to join as well.
Mm-hmm. Richard, if you have any questions, too, just chime right in.
Do you operate just with farmers within Dane County, or do you use the counties around Madison also?
No, we go all the way up into central Wisconsin. So we have farmers in Plover, Stevens Point, Wapaka, where our farm is located, as well as down in Dane County.
Now, you've got, right there in Dane County, you've got two other food hubs. Both are private businesses, for-profit, Nice Figs and Perfection Produce. What's your relations with them? Is this just, is this the competition? How does the relations between the food hubs work out?
Honestly, I haven't seen any competition between our food hub and theirs.
Hmm. And you're selling to grocery stores and supermarkets in the region?
Most of our sales are to grocery stores. Hmm. Primarily, we started out with Roundy's this year, and now we're expanding into other grocery store chains.
And is the food that you sell to these stores, is this marketed especially, being local produce?
Yes. It's all marketed as local produce.
So the stores do brag about this and boost it?
Absolutely. Roundy's advertises it. They have signs up in their store. They have us on their website with features on our farmers. So it's definitely important to them to show their consumers that they have local produce in their supermarket and that they're supporting their local farmer.
Hmm. And tell me more about the consumer demand for that kind of product. Is it something that you can verify that, because we talk about it and we write about it, do indeed customers want that kind of produce, Tara?
Absolutely. We have our own retail market in central Wisconsin, and our retail sales have gone up over the last 3-4 years, and I think that people want to be healthier. They want to support local businesses, specifically local farmers.
Mm-hmm.
They want to be more sustainable, and they want to know what they're buying. They want to know where their food comes from and how it's grown.
Yeah. And can you go so far as to say this is a way for smaller size farms to stay afloat?
Absolutely. Absolutely. In our farm in particular, I mean, we saw our wholesale markets dwindling, and this was a way for us to open up new avenues. As the retail outlets centralized, it became more difficult for us to get into those markets, and so having a sales manager who knows how to work within these businesses allows us to make those sales.
Mm-hmm.
We just got a call from a listener in La Crosse who was worried about the burden of small producers of new food safety regulations being promulgated by the USDA, and that this puts an unfair financial burden on small farmers. I answered her, but I'm an outsider. What would you say to that question?
Well, it's definitely difficult. We are currently helping our members all become GAP certified, which is Good Agricultural Practices, through the USDA. And primarily for us, it's just a ton of paperwork. It's not necessarily a lot of added expense. It's just a lot of paperwork and organization and having someone to do all of that paperwork as the food goes out the door. So having traceability. It's a very time-consuming process.
But you can help with that and help them keep their costs down on this, right?
Absolutely. So the hub has actually brought in experts from the UW as well as the USDA to help us become GAP certified. They've offered to help us bring down the costs of putting our operating procedures together. So it's definitely one of the positive aspects of the hub.
Tell me about you and farming and your family's involvement in farming, Tara. You went on and did a lot of schooling. Was there any question in your mind ever that you were going to farm with your parents?
I would say my interest in farming has been there all the while, but as was mentioned before, we've been more of a mid-sized farm, and my parents had pushed me to get off of the farm, actually.
Really?
As our farm, you know, struggled during different years. So the food hub definitely has allowed us to bring another generation on, as well as other, the local market increasing. But it's always a struggle. It's always a struggle to bring a new farmer in, to have another salary going out. You have to make up for it somehow.
Yeah.
So
This is why the number of farms have been shrinking, and especially the number of mid-sized family farms have been shrinking, because it's hard work and it's very risky, and too often kids don't want to go into it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have the number of shrinking number of farmers and shrinking number of people who want to be farmers. If what you're doing is encouraging young people to get into it, like the person we just talked to up in Green Bay, this could reverse the trend. It's very encouraging.
Mm-hmm. We're going to welcome phone calls. We'll have Tara stay with us and welcome our phone calls. We're talking about food hubs this hour of our program, and our phone number is 800-486-8655. Tara Roberts-Turner farms with her parents in central Wisconsin, and she is president of the Wisconsin Food Hub Cooperative. Richard Longworth, senior fellow at the Chicago Council on Global Affairs, author of Caught in the Middle, America's Heartland in the Age of Globalism. He's written quite a bit on food hubs. Did I give you the number? 800-486-8655. Email talk@WPR.org. Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Let's go back to phone calls for our guest. Stella in Sturgeon Bay is next. Hi, Stella.
Hi. My question is, this term food hub is new to me. I haven't heard it before. And what I have gathered from what has been discussed so far, it sounds as though it's a rebranding or kind of fancy name for a fresh food wholesale business, and with the primary difference between traditional wholesale marketer or wholesale businesses being that they draw their produce and their food from locally rather than nationally or internationally.
That's about right. Yes,
I would say one difference is, at least with our food hub, is that we are a co-op, so our farmers are always in control and the ones making the decisions.
But about 50% of all the food hubs are for-profit and are privately owned.
Hmm.
Others are co-ops or other forms of ownership.
Anything else?
It's interesting to note that, as far as I can find out from these statistics, they're all making money. A lot of them get started with grants from a foundation or from the state or something.
Huh.
But once they're in business, almost all of them exist without outside funding. They're making it on their own.
Mm. Did you have a grant of some kind, Tara?
Well, we were founded by the Wisconsin Farmers Union, so they put in money at the beginning, as well as we received a value-added grant from the USDA. So those funds allowed us to pay for the cost that we needed, especially our employees, for the first year.
Mm-hmm. What do you grow on your farm, Tara?
Primarily sweet corn, pumpkins, squash, tomatoes, cucumbers, onions, strawberries.
Mm-hmm.
One of the problems with local farming, especially around here, is the winters. And there's a lot of these crops that simply cannot be grown year-round. They can in California or other places, which gives more distant farmers an edge here. So this takes, you have to have the greenhouses and other expensive equipment.
Mm-hmm.
How much of that is happening? How much are small farmers around here, Tara, going to year-round operations?
Well, we're happy when the USDA was offering the hoop house grants that they had, and we put two hoop houses up at our farm.
What's a hoop house?
It's basically a greenhouse without heat, although many people do put some sort of heat in there, but it allows you to extend out your season.
Oh.
So a lot of people grow leafy greens or tomatoes in their hoop houses and extend their season up to anywhere from 1 to 3 or 4 months, depending on how long they want to use their hoop house.
You see a lot of them in the countryside. They sort of look like big igloos.
Mm-hmm.
And as she says, it does extend the season. But they're not quite the same as greenhouses.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Stella, very much for your call. Unless you had something else, did you? Stella's gone. Denny, Central Wisconsin. Hi.
Hi. I'm an owner of a restaurant in Central Wisconsin, and we've used local products since our inception 9 years ago. And if you go to anybody's website that's judging local food, about 80% of the top restaurants in our area, and there's some very good ones now, are pointed toward local produce. And not all of our clientele are people with a large pocketbook, but all of them care about proper handling of food. We go to the farmers we work with. And what intrigues me about the hub is it sounds like you'd have the ability to be a supplier on a larger scale. One of our problems, Ben, is some of our local organic or even not certified organic farmers are just so small you can't get the production from them. Is that accurate?
Where are you located, Denny?
Wapakoneta.
Let's see. I don't know. There's one. I think the one probably closest to you, there's a food hub in Reedsburg. Is that a help?
Sure. I know where they are. My question was, is that as a restaurateur, we sure welcome the idea because it seems like if you're pooling the product from a number of capable farmers, we as a restaurateur would have a better supply line.
Right. I think that's true. And also, it's good business for your farmers. Keeps them in business, enables them to expand, which means they can do more for you.
Mm-hmm. Terry, you had something you wanted to say?
Yes, I was going to say that most of our hub customers have expressed to us that the reason that they're using the hub is that we are able to have just one person that they have to talk to, and that we can take from not just one farmer but from our whole membership to provide them with a diversity of products, as well as if the one farmer that they were buying from does not have the product, then we can go on to another member who might have it at the time.
Yeah. Can you really taste the difference in the food, Denny?
Yes. We have people that come in I have a football player that played for lacrosse on their national championship Division III college team that simply sometimes orders a plate of our sautéed veggies.
Great.
This is a 275-pound football player, okay? And you can taste it, and when we talk about it, and our whole staff cares about food, about proper handling of food, proper growing of food, and our clients know it.
What's in those sautéed veggies, Denny?
Mixed garden vegetables often, a little olive oil, finish it with a little white wine, make them nice and crisp.
All right.
That sounds... Reserve me a table. I'll be there.
Yeah, me too. That sounds really good. Thank you, Denny. Thanks very much.
Thanks
very much for the call. Here's a question from Dan in Elgin. 20 years ago, we used to purchase food from North Farm Co-op in Madison. Raw milk cheese was very good. This is not a product available today. Is this something that Food Hub can resurrect? Anybody?
I'll leave that to Tara.
Tara?
Yeah, I would not know. We don't deal with any dairy currently.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that we are able to resurrect a lot of products that have gone off the market, as we have lots of growers who specialize in products that either haven't been seen or aren't grown in mass quantity. So in that sense, you know, some of those products may be able to come back. I'm not sure if there was a safety issue with that product, though, or if there was just difficulties in producing it.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
The food hubs exist to be the middleman to put suppliers in touch with customers. So if there's a demand, I would think the food hubs could play a role in seeing if that demand can be filled.
Yeah. When you say you don't deal in dairy, do you mean your farm or the food hub doesn't deal in dairy?
Our food hub currently does not have any members that have dairy products.
Uh-huh. Is there a reason for that?
No, we just haven't expanded to that. We started out with just fresh produce and some value-added products.
So
a number of food hubs do deal in dairy products. Others deal in meat. They deal, you know, in all manner of produce.
Yeah. And is this primarily, Richard, a Midwestern thing that's going on, or is it all over the country now?
Well, it's all over the country. As I said, the list I have here, which is the latest one from the USDA, it lists more than 200 food hubs, and they're all pretty well, you know, California, as you would expect, has got a lot of them. Florida has a lot of them. Here's four in Colorado. Here's, my word, 10 or more in North Carolina. Yes, they're all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all over the Midwest. There's four or five in each Midwestern state,
mm-hmm.
probably about 10 here in Illinois.
Mm-hmm. Take this out for us. As a farmer yourself, Chira, we've heard so much about small family farms just really going under and the number of farmers who are struggling, incomes pretty low in the state of Wisconsin and in the Midwest. Take this whole food hub concept down the road 10 years for me, please, and under the best of circumstances, how it could grow to allow more people to farm and what the obstacles are.
Yeah, I mean, just speaking of our farm, again, it's opened up avenues that weren't available to us anymore. And when we had our yearly membership meeting last week, the one positive comment that every farmer made was that they were able to sell more produce than they were the previous year. Again, not because not just because the hub was there, but because new doors were opened, new ideas were brought in, and the farmers were connecting with each other and helping each other out to make sure that more sales were happening. And one of the things that's been interesting in our food hub is that we have five major sweet corn growers in our hub, and previously you could consider us competitors, but with the food hub, we all work together. We're helping each other with cooling, with packaging, so that ultimately we can have more sales as a group rather than competing against each other.
Mm-hmm. Richard, take it down 10 years, 5 years from now.
Well, so far so good. It has been growing for the past 20 years. It would seem to give small farmers a better foundation. It takes a lot of the chores that they didn't get into farming to do, from packaging to accounting doing a lot of the financial and commercial matters. Enables them to concentrate on farming by removing this cost through pooling of efforts. It gives them more income, as Tara says. It gives them better markets. There's no reason to think this won't grow. This, you know, it's a healthy thing because it establishes a counterweight. As I said, it's not going to get rid of big farming or mega farming, but it establishes a counterweight there and gives more variety to our diet and gives a good firm financial basis to farmers to enable them to keep on farming and escape some of these pressures so many farmers are prey to these days.
Do you see any of this going into entering a global market, or would that defeat the purpose of local food?
I don't see why. I mean, right now, it is supposed to be local. It's supposed to be within a narrow region. It's supposed to be within about 400 miles maximum. That limits the global aspects. But in due time, if it's good quality stuff, has better quality than people can get elsewhere, I don't see any reason why it couldn't grow to be global, given the proper transport. But we are a long ways away from that now. As far as the global food economy goes, this is barely a little cloud on the horizon.
Mm-hmm. Chira, what do you think?
Right. I think right now that would be a far stretch. We need to figure out how to compete within the local market first. But I do think that the definition of a local market is expanding, and that, you know, neighboring states may reach out into neighboring states as we get further along down the road and figure out different things.
You mean like Iowa, Minnesota,
Michigan, Illinois, Indiana.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, what an interesting hour.
Who makes maple syrup down in southern Indiana? And he started small, and he looked like a small farmer. He's selling to New York, Las Vegas. He's selling all over the country now.
Wow.
His markets grow.
Yeah, they do. Thank you so much, Richard and Chira. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kathleen.
Richard Longworth, Senior Fellow at the Chicago Council on Global Affairs, author of Caught in the Middle, America's Heartland in the Age of Globalism. Chira Roberts-Turner, who farms with her parents in central Wisconsin, Turner's Fresh Market and Greenhouses, started 50 years ago, now in its third generation. And she also teaches sustainability and serves as the president of the Wisconsin Food Hub cooperative. Thanks to KP Whaley for producing the program and Elisa Nalbandian for on-air production here in our downtown Milwaukee studios. We'll be with you again tomorrow from 1 to 3. Thank you for listening.